We've done quite a few of these at this point. 10 to be exact.
Really? Do the math.
Is math required to count to 10? It's really like do the counting.
This is episode 11. That means we've done 10.
Hi, and welcome to Hey Bestie. We're best friends, Sarah and Kim, and we're introverts who like to talk.
Sarah, have you finished Stranger Things 2?
Yeah, a few days ago.
I watched it. I finished it on Halloween night, so it's been a little bit longer for me, but I think I can still remember it. Are you a big fan of Stranger Things? Would you say that you really love the show? It's like one of your favorites, or do you watch it for any particular specific reason or character?
It is not one of my favorite shows. I don't not like it. I don't know. It's hard for me to rank. I didn't even consider not watching the second season, so I liked it enough to know I would keep watching it. Mm-hmm. And it's a show that I watch with my husband, so we like to watch it together. But I don't know. I feel like the craze over it that people are really into is like, you know, like the upside down stuff is probably the least interesting part of the show to me. And I know it's like the whole premise of the show.
Yeah, it's kind of the foundation on which the show is built.
I like it for, like the time and the place and the characters. I like all of that. I'm less interested in what's happening like down there.
I will say I do feel weird that they haven't really given us much about the upside down specifically. Like, we haven't gotten a lot of answers, right? Which I get is part of the mystery that the show is built upon, is like, what is this place and why does it exist? Is it just underneath this one town? And the whole mystique around that is part, a big part of the show. But at the same time, I feel like it's just become this sort of blasé place. Like, yeah, okay, that's where the conflict's going to come from, is like, who's in the upside down or what's coming out of the upside down? Or
yeah, I mean, I feel like I can just count on it like really sucking under there. So it's just, no, it's bad. Like, if you start digging in your backyard and you accidentally look into there, like, probably close up that hole and don't go down there. Yeah.
Right side up is good. Upside down is bad.
Yeah. Yeah. So I guess this is where we should say that anyone who hasn't watched all of the episodes can probably, I think, listen to everything we're going to talk about, because I don't actually really care about like the answers or the mystery so much, or there's not really much to say about it anyways. We'll just be talking more about like the characters and different ways people interact and the way the story is told, more than specific spoilery kind of things, I think.
Yeah, I think I'm probably going to avoid most plot points and just stick to character and some key elements.
Okay, cool.
So what did we like and what did we hate?
Let's see. I don't know. I feel like the show was going along, like season two was going along pretty well for me up until, which just says pretty far in, I guess. I don't remember what episode. I don't really keep track. Because it all becomes one big blob to me because I watch it so quickly. That episode where Eleven goes up to the school to find Mike and sees him with Max like on her skateboard and gets jealous and like knocks her off the skateboard.
I tweeted about that just today.
Yeah, like I felt like up until I got to that point, it felt like this is, you know, a season of Stranger Things, and it all felt really expected and it made sense to me. But then whenever I saw Eleven like looking through that little window in the door into the gym and getting jealous and knocking Max off of her skateboard, like that stood out to me as a really weird, out of place, like why did they even do that kind of moment? It felt,
yes, she wouldn't do that. It made no sense to me.
Yeah, like after spending episodes and episodes before that having her basically be taught how to like live like a normal person in sort of in the world, but you know, hidden away, but still functioning. Like she doesn't know all these words, and so she's learning them constantly. She doesn't understand like interacting with people in certain ways, but somehow like that sense of like jealousy and being bitchy and like catty to another girl is like innate in her. Like I didn't like that at all.
Yeah, same.
All the other things she didn't get, but what she got was like Max is like what, encroaching on her like man territory or something, and so she has to be mean to her.
Yeah. So if you haven't watched it or you're not all the way through season two, you probably do already know just from absorbing through the zeitgeist and articles that people have written that there is another female character introduced in this season, Max, and she's sort of the girl that joins the gang because Eleven is elsewhere for a lot of the season. So she's hanging out with the guys in a lot of the episodes. And when Eleven pops up finally in one of the episodes and witnesses her hanging out with Mike, who she has a connection with, a deep connection with from season one, she instantly, like Sarah said, like instantly, like her face lowers and she expresses this like deep jealous rage it's so clear that's what they're trying to get across.
Yeah, and she uses her powers to knock her off her skateboard, to knock Max off the skateboard.
And she has no idea who this girl is. This is the first time she's ever seen this girl, but because she's interacting with Mike, they immediately go into this, you know, a woman seeing another woman with another man obviously is going to get really jealous and hate her.
Yeah, I was like, hello, why don't you knock Mike over if you're going to knock somebody over?
But yeah, so she hasn't been socialized into society in a way that would have ingrained that in her. Because, you know, as women, we grow up in the society where we see that all the time. But she's not seeing that. She hasn't been in society at all. She's been locked away. Like you said, she doesn't know some basic words or foods. She's been watching TV for the first time.
Yeah.
She doesn't know any of this and hasn't been, that just was so off base. Like a central part of her character to me is that she reacts so purely to certain interactions that we would all have these socialized norms in place, but she doesn't have that. And that's one of the things that I really like about her character is that she can react so purely to circumstances like that and not have that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, so to bring her into that was really just disappointing.
Yeah. I really expected her to just yank the door open and run in there and not care that there was some other person in there and just figure out how to deal with it later. Like that somebody saw her that wasn't him.
Yeah. Because up until that point, she was longing to reunite with her friend.
Right. And I was, they were both really missing each other and trying to reconnect. And she had that moment. But instead of actually going in there, she just like got jealous and was mean to another girl, which was really weird. And also it jumped out at me, like that was something that really bugged me as soon as it happened. I remember like looking over at my husband and we were both like, huh, like really confused by it. But then also just Max's role in the show already, like a lot of the other people were being shitty to her constantly. So it was like all the boys, or most of the boys in different moments, were being crappy to her, like treating her badly, and her stepbrother was awful, and she was new to town, so it was like she was just having a hard time. Everyone was kind of mean to her, and then like Eleven shows up and then is also mean to her.
Yeah, it was like this new girl trope as well, like, oh, she's gonna be rejected instantly from the group.
Yeah, it's like two boys like instantly kind of like fighting over her, like who's gonna get her or something. Like she, you know, that whole thing, which is like really obvious and expected.
I feel like that was off base for the boys too, because in the first season, when Eleven is introduced into the group, they are obviously suspicious of her because she's so different and they don't know who she is. But I never felt that any of that was tied to her being a girl. And yeah, the group is a little bit older now. They're moving more into adolescence. So maybe that was a part of it. But I don't really think that that's what the writers had in mind. I think that they really were just, oh, she's not 11. She's just an outside girl. And they have bonded over all of this crazy adventure and trauma from the first season. So anybody coming in from the outside is obviously going to be rejected immediately because they have all these secrets. But there was another layer to it that was just like mean for the sake of being mean. And then also because, oh, everybody has a crush on her and who's going to get the girl?
Yeah. And then being mean to her based on their own, like when she didn't respond in a certain way to one of them the way that they wanted her to, then it was like they're mean to her. Like they take it out on her. Constantly.
Yeah, and that's just disappointing too. The way that they treat the female characters on the show is just sort of there to see how the male characters are going to react around them is just not, it's not interesting, first of all. It doesn't add anything to the story or to the characters. It sort of just keeps telling me, it pulls me out of the show because it tells me over and over again, you need more women in your writer's room. You need more women weighing in on this, obviously.
Yeah, you mentioning that, like the lack of women being involved in the show, I didn't look anything up about it, but it just feels like when I'm watching the show, that felt like really, really obvious to me. It just jumps out where I don't even have to really look it up and I can just assume like there are no women or very few women. It's definitely not.
Yeah, I did. I got curious and I looked it up and there were only a couple of women listed as writing episodes, credited as writing episodes. And of course, the Duffer brothers are like famous for being the showrunners and it's two brothers. So they drive a lot of the character and the story.
Yeah, it just seems like they need help with both girls. And then even beyond that, the other women on the show, just in general, like all those characters, so much of their stories just revolve around what the men or boys are doing. And you feel like you get very little from them.
Yeah. And when you do, it's so amazing. People write entire articles online about how excited they get when Nancy saves the day or when Joyce shows some other emotion or some other sense of an arc other than just being worried about her son.
Yeah. Joyce doing something other than Christmas lights or pictures all over her house, focusing on her son constantly and having no other anything going on.
Yeah. That's a big part of my negative feeling about the show is Joyce in general, especially in the season 2. There's another character introduced, another man in her life. And I just feel like it's the same arc for her. It's she's worried. She's worried. She's sad. She's tortured. She's worried.
Honestly,
she's
crying. I feel like he gets a more complete story than she does. Like, I feel like I know him better outside of what's going on because, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, he works at Radio Shack and you follow him to work for a minute. You see him around. You see him trying to interact with them. Her, it's like just constantly about basically the trauma of the Upside Down.
Yeah, that's a good point. And listener, we're talking about Sean Astin's character because he joined the cast this season and everybody was really excited to see where they would go with him. And yeah, we get his character kind of gets like a full, he's a person,
yeah.
with a lot more going on than just the danger of the Upside Down. And I don't think that Joyce ever gets that.
Yeah. She just spends all of her time like doing weird stuff in her house for her son. And I guess she has like a lot of vacation days or something. She just takes time off and nobody cares.
And her son's not even that great. I mean, Will's like my least favorite kid. No offense to the actor. I think all the actors, the kid actors do a great job.
I don't know. Will, I mean, he's kind of like white bread, like bland. But
yeah, he's not that interesting.
He's not like personally like annoying to me. I find some of the other people to sometimes be like at least annoying. I don't know. I feel like he's just like traumatized and constantly like trying to live.
Yeah.
He doesn't get much time to just be like normal at all. So that's kind of.
Yeah, weird. I guess his whole thing is just don't die. So he's not that interesting outside of that.
Yeah. He doesn't get a lot of time to do other stuff at this point. So what did you think about? So with the introduction of Max, the girl that joined the group meant that she had moved to town and she had a stepbrother that came with her. And if you've seen any of the show so far of season two, he's the guy that like drives around really fast in his car constantly and he plays basketball. He's like on the Skins side of the basketball game with his hair and his like eyeliner.
I laughed so hard when they first showed him. Like when they show him step out of his, what is it, like a Camaro or some like cool car. Yeah. And he's got that ridiculous mullet. Like that was so funny
to
me.
He's so cool, Kim. Oh my God. What did you think of him other than you laughing when you first saw him?
I was confused. I was mostly confused by what they wanted us to think about him because about halfway through the season, we get sort of way more informed about his character, right? There's a scene that we see him interact with his parents and we get some sort of a lot of insight into how the home life is for him. And after that point, I thought that, okay, so we get a little bit more of his backstory. Up until this point, he's just been kind of like a cool jerk character.
Yeah.
Then we get that and it kind of informs a lot of his behavior. And I thought, okay, so maybe we're going to have a little bit more understanding or maybe sympathy. But then immediately after that, he just went back to being the cool jerk.
Yeah.
And Max is his sister. So obviously she's living in the same home situation. So I thought, okay, so we're getting a little bit more about them and their relationship. But then their interactions were exactly the same. He was just a jerk. His interactions with other people were the same. He was the jerk. So I was disappointed in that. And just, I mean, obviously just didn't like him most of the time. And
yeah, for me, the way that he was so mean to Max and just like crappy in general, really bugged me. And I felt like when we got to the scene with his dad and his stepmom, where his dad is, you know, mean to him or whatever, I felt like either that scene was wedged in there to try and explain something that they like didn't plan to explain originally, or like there was more that should have been in the show that got cut out or something that made that scene make sense, because otherwise he just remains exactly the same before and after that interaction with his dad. So it kind of becomes like, why even bother showing us that interaction with his dad? Because he's still just being a jerk and it doesn't really go anywhere.
Yeah, it was like a deeply emotional scene that didn't serve any purpose.
Yeah, it was really weird. And I don't know.
Do you think that lent anything to how he treated Max? I mean, what do you think the purpose of him being shitty to Max
was? I feel
was?
Like that was them trying to explain why he was shitty to Max. I just don't think it was a valid good choice.
Yeah, because if they were trying to explain away him being horrible to her, that's not a thing.
Yeah, it's like they showed that his dad's mean to him, so it's like he's mean to Max and just generally shitty. But I think it kind of maybe goes too much toward like a almost like cliche or stereotype of like what a teenager does in response to being victimized by their parent. I don't know. It just felt like it was just so randomly placed that there wasn't enough to work with there, that they should have just left it out and let him just be a jerk. Like just be a teenage boy jerk and then that's it.
Mm-hmm. I also don't think we needed him to be mean to Max.
Well, it was just like another person that was being mean to Max.
Yeah, constantly. Every single person was being mean to her. So why did we need another person written into the show just to be mean to her? her. Obviously, her home life, her parents were mean to her. Her brother's mean to her. Then all of the kids in the gang are mean to her.
Then Eleven's, like, psychically mean to her.
Yes, and then Eleven's mean to her, which is, we already talked about that, how that's so out of character. So then it just ends up being, like, another character that I have the same issue I have with Joyce. It's just like another female character that is going through all of these negative interactions constantly, where she's having to battle these really tough, hard emotions and feel bad. And then she never really gets the catharsis that she needs, or any kind of triumph or success. It just kind of like they tack her on to any successes that the male characters have, and we're supposed to be satisfied with that. Well, Duffer Brothers, we're not satisfied with that, and we really wish that you would call
us. Not hire some sisters or best friends. So another thing I noticed, another thing that jumped out at me about the stepbrother, Max's stepbrother, was
his mullet. His muscles, his piercing eyes.
Whenever she's first, that one time when he is, you know, he's always waiting for her at school to, like, give her a ride home or whatever, and getting mad. When she walks out of the school and she's talking to Lucas, who's the one black kid in the group, and then he says something like, mm-hmm. we don't, like, you don't talk to people like that or interact. I don't know. There's some, like, weird, like, people like that moment.
Yeah.
And it makes you think, like, what does he mean?
Yeah, and she hides him on the porch, too. There's a scene where he comes to her house, and she doesn't tell Billy that he's there because she's afraid.
Right,
because
he's already made it clear at that point one or two times that she doesn't talk to people like that. And does he mean black people, or does he mean people at the school? Does he mean, like, boys her age? I couldn't figure out what he meant, because so then I just randomly came across an article that was an interview with the actor who played that character. And he's apparently Australian, I think is what I remembered. He was asked about that line, and he said, like, he didn't think it was because of racism, but then he, like, couldn't give any other explanation.
I'm trying to remember if he ever acted like that with any of the other kids that weren't Lucas.
No, he didn't, because I was on, like, high alert waiting for that. He never said anything about any of the other boys. He only said it about Lucas, and he said it multiple times about Lucas. Like, a whole, like, people like that kind of thing. And then, I even asked some other people, I was like, there was no scene before that in which we had any reason to think he had ever met Lucas or knew anything about Lucas or anyone in Lucas's family.
Right, he didn't know him.
Or anyone. They were from out of town. He had no connection. It was
out of state.
He saw Max walking out of school with Lucas and then instantly said, we don't talk to people like that. And then he went on and on and on and did it a few more times, but only about Lucas, which to me made it feel like it was racism. But then the actor's like, oh, I didn't think it was racism. That's not why I played it. Like, but he couldn't give an explanation about what it was.
Yeah, that was I forgot about that. That was a big plot hole that I feel like...
I'm like, again, was there something missing? Like, did they forget a scene? Did they cut something out? Did they decide he wasn't going to be racist, but originally he was going to be racist? I don't understand.
I do remember thinking that eventually there was going to be something connected to Billy and the gang that connected them that made him not want his sister to hang out with them, and that they were leading up to that and building up to that,
like, but then they never did. Found something out about them. But then that also doesn't really make sense for him either, because he doesn't seem like he cares about her at all.
Right.
So, like, if he knew something, like, supposedly bad about them, would he even bother to tell her not to hang out with them? Because he's not even trying to take care of her or care about her at all anyways.
So
to me, it just becomes, like, this throwaway line about, like, him being a racist.
Yeah. Which we don't need him to be racist in addition to everything else. I mean, he could be a racist. His character could be, but that didn't really go anywhere.
After that comes the scene with his dad, you know, like, slamming him into the wall and yelling at him or whatever. And I'm supposed to think that that's, like, an explanation for his behavior. But meanwhile, he's been a terrible person constantly and is apparently a racist.
Yeah, we didn't need him to be any more horrible than he already was. He already, like, tried to murder them when he was driving in his car at one point. I mean...
Yeah. He already, like, tried to run them over, which is weird enough on its own. So there was that. And then it's still just adding in that scene with his dad, just like, oh, here's the explanation for why he sucks so much. But, like, that's just not an explanation to me.
Yeah.
It was weird. I don't know. I have so many problems with him.
Yeah, in the end, it felt sort of pointless, too, because he just doesn't really serve a purpose other than being mean to Max.
Yeah, I think he's just a non-upside-down villain, which, I mean, that's fine, I guess, because I'm not a big fan of the Upside Down. So having conflict, like, unrelated to it, I guess, is makes sense or could work. I just don't think he was very well done, since I can't figure out if he's supposed to be racist or not. And okay, enough about Billy.
Definitely enough about Billy. Another sort of, I guess, like, controversy, or there was a controversial episode in this season for sure. And I remember before I even watched Stranger Things 2, I saw a lot of chatter online about people really, really hating one episode and people saying things like, oh, I got to the bad episode
now. I did not read or see anything before because I was just like trying to ignore all Stranger Things news before I watched it.
Uh-huh.
So I went into that thing blind. Okay, go on.
But immediately knew which one it was. So you were waiting for it. Yeah, I was waiting for it. And I kept wondering when I was watching the season, is this it? Is this like something weird would happen or there'd be like too much Billy or something? And I'd be like, oh, is this the bad episode? There's like a lot of Billy.
Sure, there's a lot of Billy.
When I actually got to the episode, I was like, oh, it's like so glaringly obvious what episode people are talking about because it's like a standalone episode that takes place outside of the normal characters, outside of the normal setting. And it's definitely something, I guess if you don't want to be spoiled on something, this would probably be the thing to not listen to because we're probably going to go into a little bit more detail about what happens in this episode. But I don't think overall it's that much of a spoiler. It's more about Eleven and her character. But did you think that when you got to that episode, not having any previous experience of people talking about it?
I did not. Like I said, I didn't read or pay attention to any news around the show before, so I was not expecting any sort of, like, universally bad episode or anything, like, that I was waiting for. We were planning to watch one episode one evening, and it happened to be that one, and after it ended, we looked at each other and were like, do you want to watch another episode? And it wasn't because we were so into that episode, it was because we both felt like we were cheated out of an episode.
You needed a palate cleanser after that episode.
Because the episode right before it is like the momentum of the show is really, 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 really building. And there's this moment at the very end of the episode where you see, like, I'll say the word hand. I don't know if it's a hand. It's like a weird creature. So whatever it's got is like reaching over this thing. And you think like, oh, they're about to breach this area. And then the episode ends. And then you go to the next episode and you're in this totally different place with this totally different people. The Upside Down is not even there, which you would think I would like, but that didn't work for me. Yeah, it's like just in a totally different place and people and all this, but it just completely just like flatlined the momentum of the show to me.
Mm-hmm.
So
it did. It was arguably the most tense moment. It ended on this like cliffhanger where you're like, oh my gosh, I definitely have to watch another episode. I can't wait to see how this plays out.
Yeah.
And then they take you completely out of it.
They're like, wait some more because this is not like in a cool way. Mm. So to me, the episode, it is like Eleven's kind of like this journey for Eleven to end up heading back to town to like help them out or whatever. But for me, the big problem I have with it is I don't feel like she needed any motivation to help them. I mean, she already like knocked Max off a skateboard due to her like obsession with Mike or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So, and she already saved them before. I felt like she would have, all they had to do was like, first of all, know that she was there other than what's his name, Hopper. Nobody knew she was around or whatever, but if they knew she was there and knew to ask her for help, I feel like she would have showed up either way. So it doesn't really matter to me that, like, she didn't really need that journey to be inspired to go back and help them. So I got, like, why she would want to go find her mom or whatever, but this whole other side thing where we end up in, like, a warehouse with some, like, street punk people who are like having a bonfire indoors. I don't know. Like,
yeah, there's a tease in the very beginning of the season that these other characters exist. And in the first season, we were given information about other people, other children that had power similar to Eleven. So it's sort of a callback to that. And then she sort of discovers her connection with these people and spends an entire episode with them.
Yeah. But then to me, it's just like, I don't know. They verbalize how they're so like alternative and outside of the norm, which to me is always like annoying if someone's like I always say, the person who says I don't like drama is the most dramatic person that you know. So to me, it just feels like, oh, you're so cool. Like you're so outside of the norm. You don't live in the regular world with people who have jobs and stuff. So you just steal stuff and whatever. Like I said, have a bonfire indoors or whatever, like a fire in a barrel. I don't know. I don't like it.
And they also give Eleven an alternative makeover so she can match them.
Yeah, like she wears like an oversized blazer and some like they slick back her hair and she gets like eyeliner on. It's like not cool, but it's so cool. honestly, the best part about that makeover when she goes back to town and he's like,
and she still looks like that.
What's up with this look? Yeah.
it's really funny because it's like, why are you wearing hair gel and like eyeliner and like a man's blazer?
That was probably one of the only parts of the episode that I actually genuinely really liked as like a standalone part of the episode, just because she seemed to really like looking like that. And it was so funny and like...
Looked so ridiculous.
Yeah, she looks it's really like 80s ridiculous.
A 12-year-old or whatever would think that she looks so cool, but oh my god. Okay, so speaking of liking that, gosh, now I'm just picturing her in that like oversized blazer, and I can't handle it. So, okay, so I was not a big fan of the episode. I know you said you liked it originally, mm-hmm. but maybe not in the place that it was in or something like that.
Yeah, I was waiting for this episode. Like I said, I had heard rumors that there was a really bad standalone episode. And when I got there, it was really obvious, like, oh, this is the episode they mean. This doesn't really make sense. And in the context of the entire season, like you said, like you had this tense moment of action in the episode right before, and then it cuts that momentum completely off. So that just immediately makes you feel weird, and you're going into this episode with like an odd feeling about the action, because you're thinking, wait, what's happening over there? That's what I was into. And we get absolutely no character development or build up to the scene at all. Like, we're aware that these people exist because we got maybe, what, like 30 seconds of them in episode one? But then we completely forget about them. So we have no attachment to them whatsoever. So we don't care about them at all. So... having a whole episode of these people interacting. Yeah, that's why,
like, when there's, like, that moment of where police are there and they're, like, shooting at them and it's supposed to be tense or something, it's like, I literally don't care if they get shot.
These are strangers.
What am I supposed to do with that?
So...
yeah.
These are strangers. Strangers things. Like, strangers and stranger things. So, when we have, like, this whole episode of them, we don't care about them, which is really odd. And what was most... the reason that I say that I really liked it is because, at its core, I think that it was... a typical hero's journey for Eleven. And I love her character. And I really think, I was really hoping for that for her because she is the hero of the story. And we see a lot of, this is a very typical male centric kind of arc for a hero to go through, where you discover something about his past and then he gets more connected with his power within. And that all happened within this episode for her. And I think that people in general, the example that I saw and compared to most often online when I saw other people talking about how they really liked the episode was Star Wars. It's like her Star Wars episode. Like, she's finding out who she really is and where she came from and who her parents are, and that she has this other connection to people with powers, and that she possibly has like a sibling. And it's very much like a Star Wars epic hero arc. And I love the idea of that for her. But to do it in this way, like this really, what seemed like a very rushed, thrown together, sort of just slotted right in the middle of this other action arc happening with all these characters that we don't care about, was just very,
yeah.
Honestly, it felt lazy to me. And it felt like at the end of the episode, they just tied it back into her going after her friends. Like what you said, like she didn't need more motivation to go after her friends. She was already connected to those people and she was already going to meet back up with them. So to tie it back into that and make that the whole point of the episode, like, oh, she could have gone on and had her own thing. But this is really just about her being reminded that she's into helping her friends, was really just, I was like, no, that's not the point of this episode. The point of the episode for me was for her to actually develop as a character and to realize her power and to realize her past and her strength. And it could have been done in a really more drawn out, more fleshed out, more impactful way. And I think that they just really dropped the ball on that. And it was really disappointing. And it just seemed like a stalled out episode before you continued with the action where like the real heroes were, which is the gang. And we pick back up with them and she meets back up with them later and all of that happens.
And yeah, and she's like, just like this aloof like side person that's just like, I'll show up eventually at the very end. It's fine. But the real action and heroism is all back with the other group. It's weird. I don't know.
Yeah. And again, that's
I wasn't a fan. It just really killed the momentum. And also, like I said, I just don't care about those people at all.
And I don't understand with how little we got of her in the episodes before that, that wasn't just her interacting with Hopper. Like, I don't think we needed so much her and Hopper. Like, I feel like there could have been other stuff going on with her.
Oh my God. No, I loved her and Hopper.
Well, I liked the interactions, but I feel like they could have like,
as a non-fan of the upside down parts of the show, her and Hopper in that cabin,
It's like my favorite part of the season, pretty much. Like, I love that whole thing. Like, he's trying to teach her, like, he becomes her dad, and he's trying to teach her how to function, basically, and have any sort of, like, rules kind of out in the real world, except for, I mean, she's hidden away in a cabin, but he's a regular guy, not, like, a scientist doing anything weird to her. He tries to get her to eat stuff other than those Eggo waffles. Teaches her how to sweep, like, clean up. I love it.
Oh, yeah, she's so bad at sweeping. Sweeping is not something that we're born
knowing. And whenever he uses words that she doesn't know, and then he tells her, like, oh, that's your word of the day. Like, he's making sure she learns new stuff every time. Like, she's learning how to just even be a person, basically, outside of a lab.
Yeah.
I love, love, love all of that.
Yeah, that was really good. But I feel like it was more, my only complaint about that was that it was more about, I think it informed his character a lot more than hers. Like, we're seeing her learn things. But for him, it was much more about, like, he had lost a child, right, like, in his past, and he was reconnecting with somebody who he felt was, like, a daughter to him, and showing that side of himself as, like, a nurturer and somebody that she could trust, and he was keeping her secret.
Yeah, it definitely says a lot about him, but I do also think that for her, I mean, that has to be part of her journey, because she just literally doesn't know how to sweep.
Yeah.
And you know I love that random, like, fish out of water
fish kind out of water like,
this
stuff, person's
confused by this location they're in. I love that. So, yeah. I mean, but also she didn't know how to freaking sweep. So somebody had to teach her.
Yeah. So I guess I just wish that it was more, I don't know, like this, the start of, like, a real, like, hero's arc for her in that one episode just wasn't, like, enough for me. And it wasn't done well at all because it was in that episode with those people that we don't care about at all. So
also, I just don't have time for a bunch of little punks stealing stuff and being rude to everyone.
In the 80s, especially.
Yeah. Like, oh, you're so cool with your smudged eyeliner, and now you're distracting this guy in a store so you can steal candy from him or whatever. I don't like it.
Yeah. And we just didn't get enough of them. Like, they found out that she had powers, and then they were trying to, like, use her powers, and then she was, like, okay with it for 30 seconds, and then she realized, no, this isn't what I want to do. I'm going to go find my friends. It was like, did we really need that episode if that's where she was going to land, like, all along? Like, we already knew that's who she was. We already knew she wasn't going to use her powers for evil.
Yeah, and I already felt confident that she would help them, so it's like, yeah. The journey was like a journey to nowhere to me.
Yeah, so that was frustrating, because I was like, oh, the journey isn't about her at all. It's still about her being the hero for her friends.
Anyway, as I was watching that episode, the thing that kept popping into my head outside of the Stranger Things world was it reminded me of back whenever Battlestar Galactica was on. And every once in a while, like, there was a time whenever it first started, I think the seasons were a bit shorter. But then as it was really popular, this is like the remake several years ago, but not like the super old one. I remembered reading at the time that they were making them do probably more episodes per season than they would have chosen to do, or that their story really required or they were comfortable with. And so that meant they had to kind of, like, stretch the story sometimes to fit, you know, like 22 or 24 episodes or whatever it was. But every once in a while, that meant there would be an episode where you'd be watching and you'd be, like, all in this big, like, Cylon battle. And then all of a sudden, there would just be this total side story where you're like, this doesn't connect to any of that. I don't know why you're showing me this. What is the point of this? And this episode reminded me of that. It just made me laugh because I thought of the time that we watched an episode like that. And then I went and looked it up, and it was like basically saying Edward James Olmos had wanted to direct this episode and had like an idea for it. And they just like wrote a story that was like a total side tangent so he could just do this episode because he wanted to. And to me, that's what this episode felt like on Stranger Things. It was just like something somebody wanted to do, and it didn't really serve the whole story arc very well or at all. But somebody wanted to do it, and so then it was just done.
Yeah, you're right. I haven't watched Battlestar Galactica in a really long time, but you saying that, I do remember feeling like that several times. Like, the story was building. There was all of this stuff going on that tied into the larger arc.
Yeah, then suddenly there's just an episode where they're just, like, kind of, like, on a ship, like, wandering around, doing, like, basically nothing. And you're like, what is happening right now? And it's just totally outside
of what's... It would just stall out, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and then that was definitely, like, there were always... Once they had those longer seasons, there were, like, a few filler episodes like that every time. Because they just had so much, yeah. I guess, more episodes than they knew what to do with. But
sometimes you just gotta let Edward James Olmos do what he wants to do.
Apparently.
I guess. That reminds me, another show that we talk about a lot that definitely had some questionable episodes, and not because Edward James Olmos was there in wanting to direct, but just in general, and you've talked a lot about this too, is Buffy. because we've both yeah. watched all of Buffy. You have watched all of Buffy at this point, I don't even know how many times, because you're always constantly watching it on a loop. We've mentioned that before. Sarah always has Buffy on a loop.
Twitter hashtag is hashtag Buffy on a loop.
Yes, because when she's working, it's a great show to have in the background. She's seen it so many times, she loves it. And also, she can work while it's on because she's seen it so many times.
Oh, update on looping it right now. So, yeah, I mean, I haven't memorized. I can have it on while I'm working. It doesn't distract me, but it's, like, really comforting. I love it. I sometimes still will randomly hear or see new things where I'm like, I don't remember seeing that before, which is really weird because I've seen it so many times. Like, for sure, dozens. Like, I honestly feel like I'm underestimating if I say a few dozen because it's just always, it's always on. Like, yeah. I don't know.
And it's been years now.
Yeah, and it's been, like, years and years and years and years. Like, that's, like, a lot of time. And I watched it live. Like, I watched it as it aired on TV.
I feel like you should try and do the math at some point and get an estimate.
I don't know how I would even do that. But I could probably actually start, like, look on my Twitter because I kind of, like, end up tweeting. Like, every time I see The Gentleman, I pretty much, like, tweet for the last few years. And so I could probably do, like, a pacing thing. And then, like, before that, when I wasn't tweeting about it, I could, like, probably get a good account. But anyways, I've seen it so many times. And my rule for Buffy, whenever my, like, suggestion guideline rule for when people are going to watch Buffy is always that when you watch it for the first time, mm-hmm. and maybe even the second time, mm-hmm. you have to watch every single episode. And you have to get through season one. Don't give up during season one, or you're just giving up on something that you don't,
mm-hmm.
it's not quite there yet. Just give it time. But you have to watch every episode because you need to know all the stuff that happens.
It's,
and
at
know
certain
all
points, it's very much not there yet at certain points in season one.
But
for sure,
when you go back and you're like, if you're ever on a loop of watching it, there are definitely certain episodes that you can very safely skip and never watch again for the rest of your life. That's my Buffy policy.
Anyone who's a fan of Buffy and who has seen Buffy all the way through, I think will agree that Buffy has had some of the very, very worst episodes for a show that you love ever. And then also some of the very, very best, which makes the worst ones that much more funny. Because, like, some right. of the very best episodes I've ever seen of any show ever are Buffy.
Right. And then some of the worst.
So it's just hilarious to, like, go into season one and see them. I mean, every season one of every show is sort of, like, getting its footing, right? And pilots are notoriously, like, shaky for most shows. But okay. Buffy season one
of Buffy is rough.
Yeah.
But is anything rougher than episode 4 in which that substitute teacher praying mantis comes to town?
Oh my God. Is that one of the episodes
and
that you
skip tries to
now?
Sex and eat Xander. I can't. Oh yeah, I skipped that one. I don't need to see that hot praying mantis trying to eat Xander every time.
With the eggs and then she takes. Oh.
Virgin teen boys. I don't know. Yeah, not a fan.
But that is that where the joke starts, though? Because there's, like, a running joke through the entire show that Xander, like, always...
Yeah, Xander always gets captured by some, like, hot woman who decides to try and murder him. Like, he thinks he's a regular person, starts. Wants to date him, and then it's, like, a woman who's, like, way too hot for him and ends up trying to kill
him.
It's
so that bad. Happens, it's, like this puppet praying mantis that's, like, it looks like something off of, like, Sesame Street, but, like, scary and gross. Like, it's
yeah.
really bad.
Yeah, and then there's in season one, too, is that episode The Pack, which is like those, the hyena.
The hyenas. I was going to say that one. That yeah, that one's really, really bad.
Kim, they eat the principal.
And they don't make that big of a deal about it.
Raw meat. Uncooked. Uncooked. Just raw human meat.
If they cooked him, that would have been better. If they had a scene where they were like roasting him over a fire.
I mean, I feel like if they cooked him, it's like better. It's not great, but it's better.
Yeah. And I love how they build it up to where this principal is such a jerk and you hate him. So then they kind of glaze over the fact that he got eaten. Like, oh, nobody's going to care.
Yeah, like they mention it and they're just kind of like, that's fine.
Yeah, like, where is he? Oh, he got eaten.
By these, like, hyena students. What?
Yeah, like, it's a normal thing.
They made eye contact with a hyena and then ate their principal?
It's the first time, too, that anybody of, like, prominent status in the town in Sunnydale has been attacked or something paranormal has happened to them. And they just
yeah, that's pretty fun it. Because then, like, you're like, OK, well, if they'll eat the principal, I mean, they'll kill anyone if you can just eat the principal after he's being a jerk to you for a few episodes. Then what else is in season one? Oh, that that ventriloquist dummy who's like a sexist garbage dump.
Oh, I see. The sexist dummy. Yeah.
He's like, hey, hottie. I don't know. I can't stand it.
He uses like old timey speak, though, to like harass you.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then it turns out like he's the guy isn't controlling him because he's there's like some
right.
spirit
he's supposed
of
to be doing a talent
dude.
Show. And it's like the guy's supposed to be voicing him, obviously like a dummy. But like, no, the dummy is like possessed or whatever,
yeah,
or like a demon.
By an old timey sexist
I haven't watched
dude.
That episode in forever. Yeah. But he's like an old timey, like, douchebag.
And at the end, when the gang find out that he is just an old timey poltergeist who's sexist, they're like more fine with it because they're like, oh, you're just trapped in this dummy. And it's like, well, he still was saying all of that terrible stuff. He's like, not
still really sucks.
Suddenly like a cool guy. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, that one's bad. I skipped that one for sure. And I don't think this episode's in season one. Maybe it is, but I think it's season two. But I still think it's worth a mention because I always skip
season
it.
Season two is still a little bumpy, but it does start to really pick up. And it has fewer bad episodes, like, closer together. They're more spaced out. Let's just say that.
Mummy Girl.
I was about to say Inca Mummy Girl.
Yes, I think that's season two.
Yeah, that's in season two for sure. And yeah, watch it once and then move on with your life.
It's so boring. It's one of the few episodes, too.
It really is. Yeah, it really is actually boring.
It's boring.
It's another example, though, of Xander being targeted by someone hot who then tries to kill him. Yeah. So that's kind of fun because Xander is not the greatest.
Xander doesn't really endear you to him for a few seasons. So you're kind of fine with him almost dying in a lot of these situations at first.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, watch it once and then just like move on because, ugh.
Are there any later episodes other than being super creepy that aren't great? I don't think so. I think after
I don't like that swim team reptile one, but that's in season two also, I think. So swim team and they're like on those drugs. It's kind of like trying to suggest like steroids, but it's something else. And they turn into like these reptiles in the pool or whatever.
Like the fish people. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't like that.
They eat their coach.
Do they?
In that one. Yeah. Because remember, they're down below the school.
They, like, don't they like swim out to sea? I don't.
They do, but they eat him first.
Oh, God, how rude.
He falls down the hole because he's trying to feed them.
Oh, yeah, because they just go, like, full, like, reptile monster thing.
Yeah, and so they throw the coach down there.
I haven't watched that one in forever. I've seen Buffy so recently, but I have not watched that episode
in a long time. Yeah, that's
because
a skippable one.
It's off of Netflix in the U.S., so then I had to start rewatching it on Amazon, but, like, Amazon Prime does not let you loop shows very well. It, like, makes you hit play every single time, and it doesn't remember where you were. Mm-hmm. So on the app I use, I have to, like, try to remember, like, where was I in that? And, like, go back to it every time, which is really annoying. But now, the other day, I found out it's on Hulu, and Hulu does the looping very well. So, it's working out again. But I still always skip that episode, and probably will never see it again for the rest of my life.
The episode for me that I have to skip, that's not because it's actually a pretty good episode as far as, like, character development, what happens with the characters.
Is it the skin peeler?
The skin peeler, yes. It is too gross.
Yeah, that one just makes
me
gag.
Yeah, I can't watch it. It makes my skin crawl, like, understandably. It's really disgusting. I don't know why they had to make it that graphic. Like, we get what he does, okay? But why do we have to watch him do it? Like, I don't...
Yeah, like, his fingernail is like a little peeler, and he's just going to peel you a little
bit at
a time. It's horrible. Yeah,
I'm freaking out right now thinking about it.
I'm actually about to gag because I can picture it too perfectly because I actually do watch that episode a lot, but a lot of times I'll just like fast forward through the scenes of the peeling.
Yeah, because the episode's pretty good actually, but the peeling.
Yeah, the episode, and it's like a good part of the story, but then like the peeling is just like, oh God, I'm gagging.
It's really bad.
So, is there anything else that jumps out at you? I'm trying to think.
I was trying to think if there was anything about Willow specifically, because her arc gets really problematic for me a couple times, but I don't know that there's an episode that I think is really terrible that I don't like to watch.
No, I think it's just like sometimes she just does like whiny, shitty stuff. And then for me personally, I think about how she was such a fan favorite and people like loved her so much and talk about how great she is all the time. And then I'm watching it like, are we seeing the same person?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm definitely like a Buffy over Willow mm-hmm. person.
Oh, yeah. Everyone should be.
Like, Buffy is the hero. So earlier in the show, one of my favorite, I think this is in season three. I mean, I pretty much like the pilot of the show because I just like seeing the intro. And I mean, it's obviously like pilots are generally pretty rough, but I think it's really fun and cute and it's a nice intro and it sets it up really well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think my first like big, I mean, other than I do like some of the Buffy Angel stuff in season two, but I think my first like episode that I just truly, truly love, 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 where I could watch it out of order, I would tell people to watch it without even watching the show, I just think it's really funny and fun, is Band Candy.
Band Candy is such a good episode.
In season three. Yeah. So it's like whenever they get told to sell candy for school for the band, they have to sell it. And so, of course, Buffy's just trying to get her mom and Giles to like buy a bunch of it from her so she doesn't have to do any of it. And the candy has been like cursed or whatever to make adults kind of like revert to how they were as teens.
It's so funny.
So when they notice that happening, they make this, there's like this little comment about how like Giles is probably just like in the library, like reading books because he must have been like a huge boring nerd as a teen or something. But then it turns out Giles is like
this like rebel with like cool clothes.
Who's like smoking and listening to records and like out there like breaking into stuff. And oh gosh, I just love that.
And Joyce is into it.
Yeah, Joyce is really into Teen Giles.
He is cool like Burt Reynolds and she is into it.
Yeah, I love that episode. It's one of my favorite things. It's so funny.
I love that one too. That's definitely one of my favorites. And they call back to that episode several times in future episodes too about like what happened between Joyce and Giles, and like Buffy is like totally grossed out by it.
Yeah, because they like listen to records and more.
And more eyebrow raise.
Ooh, yeah. Oh my god. What else do I love? Oh, and I already mentioned them earlier, but The Gentleman, that's in season 4 in an episode called Hush, and it's like a kind of an homage to silent film. The plot is basically that they wake up and everyone in town has lost the ability to speak or make any kind of noise, so it's just quiet. So the episode is pretty silent other than just like the background noise. There's no talking or anything, which is feels really different, and
it's pretty amazing.
They're trying to figure out what to do, and it's really, really well done.
Yeah, to find different ways for characters to communicate with each other throughout that whole episode that don't involve talking when you're doing a TV show, I was so impressed. And it's the 90s or the early 2000s at that point, so they aren't texting.
Yeah, so they're not just texting each other constantly.
Yeah, like at one point they have an overhead projector where Giles is drawing pictures, I think, to like,
yeah,
or a whiteboard or something where like they're communicating through pictures, but mostly it's just glances and writing down things on paper or on a board, and that's how they communicate through most of the episode, almost the entire thing. So yeah, that's a great episode.
Yeah. Also, oh, I saw this mentioned the other day, and I also really like this one, the Dracula episode.
Yes.
Because so Dracula, so it's like so cheesy. You're like, oh my god, like Dracula, like it's just, it's so cheesy. But the thing that makes me love it, the thing that makes me like know that they know it's so cheesy, is that in Buffy, Dracula is like a known character still. Like, it's not like they meet this vampire and he's named Dracula and they're like, what's Dracula? Who's Dracula? It's like they know of like this lore of Dracula, and so they're meeting this like famous guy. And then the other aspect of it is the way that like other vampires find him annoying. Like, he's like a fame whore kind of, or like they don't like the how he has like, he's so like famously sexy or whatever, and they're kind of like jealous or annoyed by him.
Yes, because Dracula would be like that, right?
Right. So like, I feel like the other vampires are like, oh, like rolling their eyes at him like, oh god, this guy sweeps into town and like all the ladies are into him or something. And I loved that.
Yeah, I love that too. Like, yeah, and Buffy's just like rolling her eyes that whole episode too, which is so funny because he's like, he kind of seduces her a little bit, and she's like, oh, Dracula, because I mean that's what he's famous for.
Yeah, he has the power over people, but it doesn't work quite as well on her as other people, so she kind of like can shake her head out of it a little bit, so she doesn't get as caught up in him as other people do, but she does still get caught up in him, but not as much.
And you can tell she's kind of embarrassed by it, but she can't help it.
Yeah, like she's kind of aware of it,
like his power.
And then meanwhile Xander is getting targeted by another hot person because Dracula is so hot that it doesn't matter if you're gay.
That's
or
right.
Not.
Xander falls for him too. He like seduces Xander.
Yeah, oh, Xander falls hardest for him.
Oh, Xander. Always getting seduced into danger.
Yeah, I love it.
So Buffy is actually the show that has my number one favorite television episode ever of all time of any show.
Whoa!
Which is, yeah. If anyone ever asked me that question, like, what do you think was the best episode of TV ever? I would say without question that it was The Body.
Oh, yeah.
Which was...
That episode's really hard to watch.
Season 5, episode 16. It was The Body. And it's the episode where Buffy's mom dies. And it was a great episode of Buffy for Buffy's character, because obviously a lot is happening to her in that episode. But outside of that, it is one of the greatest episodes about death and dealing with death that I have ever seen. One of the greatest stories about dealing with death. It's very in your face.
Yeah.
She deals with her mom's death in real time and everything that happens.
When all the characters around them being so unsure of what to do or what to say or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They all have to deal with it. It's not just her, too. It's like they're all having to deal with this death. And it's very...
Yeah, they all cared about her mom in different ways. And then they're all close to her. Mm-hmm. So it's like, you're sad that she died. But then you're also trying to figure out how to help your friend. You don't know what to do or to say or how to handle it. And yeah.
It's very shocking, too, to watch it. Like, the first time through. Because at that point, her mom had gone through all of this... all these medical scares and all these things that happened where she could have died.
Yeah, and you thought she was past it. You thought it was fine, yeah.
And then she just dies completely unexpectedly. And you're just like, oh my gosh, what's happening? And you think, oh, well, this is Buffy. So maybe it's a dream, or maybe it's a vision, or maybe somebody's messing with her. But very quickly on, the episode is done so well, you realize 100% this is happening. And this is something real. And Buffy deals with vampires and paranormal stuff all the time. but this is something that she's maybe not strong enough to deal with, and you don't know if she can.
Yeah, it becomes an episode really, like totally without an outside villain or demon or anything. It's really just about her mom dying,
and it's the hardest thing she's ever faced, which I think was a really beautiful story and a really just excellent episode of television. And then, of course, after that, Willow just, like, lives for free in her mom's house. And that's sort of, like, the point that Willow starts making me really mad.
Oh, God. Don't get us started on their financial arrangements.
I know. Sarah, every time Sarah gets to the point in the show where after Buffy's mom dies, she sort of, like, inherits taking care of her sister and taking care of the house and sort of, like, living in the house. Just
well, and then there's the time when Buffy is gone and Willow and Tara move into the master bedroom. First of all, like, excuse me, did you move her mom's stuff? I'm so confused right now. They move into the master bedroom and they're there with Buffy's sister and Buffy's not even freaking there. And then she gets back and it's like, oh, you're out of money. And I'm like, where did her money go? She has to work at the Devil Meat freaking Palace.
Devil Meat Palace.
Yeah, like, how is she gone? And then they spend all of her money. Like, wasn't Willow's mom, like, paying for her college? And so she would have had, like, a college fund, including, like, mm-hmm. her dorm money, which she wasn't spending because she wasn't living in a dorm. So, like, mm-hmm. her housing money. And so why weren't they paying for anything with the money that they had? Or, like, if they didn't have money, getting jobs? Like, why would Buffy come back and have no money and then have to work at Devil Meat Palace while also being a vampire slayer? I don't understand.
Yeah.
It's so rude.
I told you, listener, it really bothers Sarah. It really bothers her.
I know, I could go on about this for like an hour laying out all the reasons that is so messed up.
I think the thing that really bugs me about it is that it never is like she doesn't ever go like, hey, assholes, why'd you spend all my money? Like, it just really,
yeah.
She just goes and like gets a job at a fast food restaurant.
Yeah, she needed to like pass the collection plate and get some people to pay some rent. If you ever moved into a house that I had and then like just lived there in the master bedroom for free and then didn't offer me like anything and I came back and I was broke and having to work at a fast food restaurant.
You'd have to be like gone. And then I'm just like living in her house using your bank account to pay for it. And then you come back and I'm like, Kim, you're out of money. You should get a job. I'll just be sitting here.
First of all, I'm like, oh, I guess you're not my best friend. Like I thought you were all these years because that's horrible.
We cannot Golden Girls together like that.
Thanks so much for listening to this episode. Don't forget to like, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts. We'd really appreciate it. Also, you can catch up with us at Hey Bestie Pod on Twitter or Instagram. And fun pics and notes about all the Buffy and Stranger Things stuff we talked about today can be found at heybestie.com in our show notes. You can also catch up on all our past episodes there. Thanks again for listening and have a great week. Oh, that reminds me of another episode I don't like is the Devil Meat Palace episode where they're like murdering people in the meat grinder.
The thing coming out of that woman's head or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't like it either.
Put your wig back on, you old bag.